Delight, the Rattlegem Broadcasting presentation of your favorite metal podcast, the Metal Hammer of Doom. I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. Frankly, I'm exhausted. I take a nap right before this show because this is the week where I work Wednesday and Thursday, and I come home, I eat dinner, I watch The Big Bang Theory, and for about 20 minutes to 30 minutes before the show starts, I take a short nap. Mandated Reporter, frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. Joining us shortly is, of course, my co-host, who's somewhere out there. Somewhere out there. Remember Fievel? Evil Fievel? American Tale? Robert Cooper, he'll be joining us shortly. And tonight, we're going to be looking at one of the great metal masters in folk metal, Enz Ferrum. We're looking at their new album, came out on the 23rd or the 20th, depending on where you found it, One Man Army. So that's what's on the agenda for tonight. I'm very excited. We're actually going to take a look at some of the bonus songs that were on the Digipak version of the album. So that's pretty cool. See, where is Mr. Cooper tonight? Cooper, where are you? Not even sure what we're doing for the month of March. I had things planned out for this far back in December when I knew roughly what the album schedule was going to look like. As far as release schedule was going to look. This is what happens. The release schedule was going to look like, and then it was kind of slim pickings until April when Blind Guardian and the new Prong covers album come out. So I knew what I wanted to do through February, and I knew what I wanted to do in April, but March was kind of a mystery. So I let Robert Cooper decide what we were going to do for the month of March. I figured he can pick the next two shows, and then we'll get back on schedule again with what I wanted to do. Let's see. What's coming out in 2015 in heavy metal? What's coming up for the month of March? Well, we've got Viking. We've got a new Enslaved. Europe, War of Kings. There's a new Cancer Bats. But the only thing I know about the Cancer Bats is that they do a great cover of Sabotage. It's fantastic. There's a new Moonspell, something called The Gentle Storm. I don't know anything about that. And then Nightwish comes out March 27th, and Prong comes out. Excuse me, March 30th. So we're scheduling those for April. In April, there's nothing. There's a new Hailstorm, for those of you that are into that sort of thing. Oh, shit, hang on now. May is going to be, see, May is when we're going to start falling behind again, because we've got a new Corpaclani, a Camelot, Whitesnake, all like 1 week right after. There's a new Corpaclani on May 5th. Consequently, it's the same week as Age of Ultron. Camelot is the 8th, and then Whitesnake. Yeah, buddy. Whitesnake, May 15th. There's a new Faith No More, which we're going to have to talk about, May 19th, and a Helloween on May 29th. So May is looking pretty packed. There's artists with material in production. Oh, the list is pretty big here. Some of these I've actually got names for the albums already, even if they might not have necessarily release dates yet. And somewhere in here is Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit has had an album that was supposed to be out last year, got pushed off to this year. And whenever they actually decide to release the damn thing, we will listen to it, by golly. It's gonna happen. So Mr. Cooper is still among the missing here. We will go ahead and just get going, and we'll start the show, and he'll have to jump in whenever we get going here, whenever he finds his way to a phone. He works, as we all know. He transports illegals across the border in his Home Depot van and unloads them. So, sometimes he can't quite make it on to our 10 o'clock start time. Anyway, so this is One Man Army. Came out, as I said, the 20th of this month. And this is the first track on here, to kind of an intro track. This is March of War. Goes on like that, doesn't it, Mr. Cooper?
It does. It's like, oh, look, we have flutes.
You're late. Go get a late pass.
Sorry. Like, it turns out the, like, week that I have off, like, the weeks that I have off from school, because I have every other week is my class, is the week I work. So, yeah. God love work, where they take away your fourth person because they came in on the wrong day. America.
Hashtag. All right. So how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. We actually got a decent amount of snow here. We have all of 5 inches, which, for all of you who do not live in the South, the South, that's a fuck ton if you live in the South. Yeah. But luckily, it's not like what we usually get, because we usually get like a fucking inch of ice. And I don't care where you're from. You can't fucking drive on an inch of ice.
No, I part of the reason why I wanted out of New York was, the black ice. On the occasion that you actually got snow, inevitably you got black ice, and that's the kind of thing that causes your car to do 360s in the street.
Yeah, not to mention all like the salt on the road is just fucking, it's horrible for your car.
Yeah, So I'm okay with with the hurricanes and the squalls of rainstorms, and the prostitution and whatnot. Oh shit, my wife actually brought in the car seat. God bless her. She's getting better with that sort of thing. Anyway, while I was waiting for you to come on, I sort of babbled about what we were going to do in the month of March, and I was leaving it up to you. I'm going to yawn a lot tonight, folks. I was leaving it up to you. Have you figured out what we're doing for the month of March?
Oh, let's see. There's a new Enslaved album coming out, so we could do that. I'm going to have to look more into what's coming out. If all else fails, look pretty retrospective. It's only 5 albums, well, 4 albums and an EP.
Let me tell you something. I just went over all this with the people listening to the podcast. I don't want to go over it all again, but real quick, May, Corpiclani, Camelot, Faith No More, Halloween.
That's awesome. Well, and Whitesnake.
We're doing the new Whitesnake.
Oh, God. As long as we can have enough albums that aren't Limp Bizkit, I'm fine.
May, just what's coming out in the month of May is going to back us up to, like, September. But
and then we still have like June through August, which is, you know, like when everything comes out, since that's all the festivals.
I don't know. Since there's a new Faith No More coming out in May, maybe we should spend some time in March doing a Faith No More retrospective.
Ooh, I'll bring my friend Kevin on. Oh God. He thinks Mike Patton turned water into wine and drank it all.
I'm sure he does. But yeah, there's Viking, Enslaved, Europe, Cancer Bats, Moonspell, The Gentle Storm, Oceano, and then Nightwish and Prong, but that's at the end of the month, so those would be for April. So something to think about.
Yeah. Oh boy, Nightwish. We'll have to bring on John.
Something to think about as we go forward here. Let's actually get to track two now here on One Man Army and Sparum. This is Acts of Judgment. I notice right off the bat is not a lot of use of the traditional sounds in a folk metal song. You know, you don't hear the woodwind instruments in this one. I mean, if you didn't know that this was a folk metal band, you certainly couldn't tell by that song.
Yeah, actually this song is kind of like, oh look, an Enceferum song. Like this is how they sound for the most part. Like it's kind of got that same kind of feel to it and that same beat to it and the same tone. Yeah, you know, it's just like this is an Enceferum song. It's a nice one to open up after that opening sort of instrumental. But I think this album actually, just for a little early spoiler, this one does a lot of different stuff compared to, well, I didn't listen to the last one, but the other ones that I've heard. It definitely goes in a lot more different directions. And it does cover a lot of folk metal passages, which is different because usually I'm kind of used to hearing them kind of like more of a death metal band with a few tinges of folk metal band folk rather than a folk metal band with a little bit of death metal. Like that's how folk metal.
Yeah, they're not exactly as, you know, elves in the woods as Corpul Kalani or Fintral.
Yeah, they're more Vikings and battle and nature.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, just sound-wise, you know, Corpul Kalani and Fintral tend to use more of the, you know, the odd-sounding instruments in their music, whereas Enceferum seems to lean more towards the black and death side of music, and that stuff comes into play hither and thither, but not as much.
Yeah, it's more of like a, like I said, it's just more of a straight death metal thing with little side notes of, you know, folk metal, disco, some old west sounding music. Yeah. So speaking of black metal, I just want you to know, as it was snowing in my house, I had like such like, I really wanted to go put on Corpse Paint and just like pose in front of a camera while it was snowing. It looked like a little black metal video out here, so I was like, yeah, I'm going to go run around in the trees and light things on fire and have a bunch of spikes in my arms. Yeah.
I have to tell you, we had to bundle up here. Well, here, you know what, let's play another song, and then I'll talk about, and then I'll make fun of the fact that you all were living in a tundra and I wasn't afterwards. This is track 3, This is Heathen Horde. Side of what Enzfirm does is definitely, as you mentioned before, that battle metal type sound. Turexis does so well, and you really heard it there. You know, if you suddenly got an urge to put on a suit of armor and carry your sword and start marching towards battle, that's the song to do it to. But getting back to our previous conversation, yeah, it was actually winter here for a week in Florida last week. You know, we had that polar vortex, and we had to bundle up here. It got to about 30 degrees.
Oh.
I had to put my son in a jacket.
Oh, God, did you own one?
the more to the point, did he own one?
Put him in your jacket.
Well, I had to wear a hoodie. You know, it got cold enough that I actually had to wear, you know, something over my my T-shirt and nursing scrubs. You see, because it was winter in Florida.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, I can't make fun of you too much. When I'm like, it's cold. Like the people I know from up north, which, by the way, I get really annoyed when people from like other places decide to run their mouths. Like, you know, like, oh, an inch. Like, you know, 4 inches of snow. Oh, where I'm from, we wouldn't cancel school. I'm like, oh, fucking go back. I don't care. But, like, because, yeah, when it hits about, you know, 20 degrees, like, that's cold. But I'm pretty sure that's like fucking frozen tundra down there in Florida, considering it never gets that cold.
No, yeah. Like I said, it starts getting 30 degrees, and people are like, what happened? What happened to the weather? I didn't get down here for this shit.
The old people are like, this is not, why is New York coming back?
Yeah. My God, we brought the weather with us. But then, like I said, it lasts a week. You know, it's like the worst week ever, and then it passes, and, you know, it's been 70 all this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
It must be
take that everywhere else in the country.
Yeah, including you, Texas.
So, all right, so this next song is the fucking jam. It was a single from this album that they released January 12th. Say what?
The Jelly Jam?
It's the Jelly Jam. I had direction, I had the sign. Sorry. Yeah, so this is just like the most awesome track ever. This is the title track. This is One Man Army. That's very mosh worthy. By the way, that opening, totally the Goat Rider's Horde from 3 Inches of Blood.
Yeah, it totally is. There's one song on here I'm pretty sure is the Toxic Waltz, or not the Toxic Waltz. Maybe it's the Toxic Waltz. It's totally an Exodus song, though. And I was like, huh. I guess if you change a few notes at the end.
I am not totally familiar with Exodus.
Yeah.
No, not enough to have picked something like that up, no. So, all right. We played a
really
couple of tracks here.
They have a really fun cover of Lowrider.
All right. Here we go.
Well, I figured you'd love to know since you love obscure covers and nothing says
Exodus, Lowrider.
Yeah, we played it on the covers podcast. Yeah. Because you were like, liked it until we got to the vocals. Yeah, because it was all my friends driving Lowrider. And you were like, I liked it on the vocals. But yeah, I mean, it's that same snarly type of vocals Exodus always use.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lowrider. Let's see. This song has been covered by the following artists: Willie DeVille, The Butthole Surfers, Carlos Santana, Blues Traveler, Peter Cetera, Cypress Hill, The Phantom of the Melvins Big Band, George Clinton, Epsilon Minus, Exodus, Gary Hoey, Kid Frost, Korn, Paul Rodriguez, Bish, Son of Dave, Those Darn Accordions. All right.
Oh, God. That sounds like a bad idea.
Wow. Okay. And then it's been sampled in a bunch of other places. All right. Moving on. So what I was going to ask you was, now is as good a time as any for you to tell me, you know, you've sat through this album, you've listened to it. Talk to me about, like, you know, what is this album about? What is this band trying to do with One Man Army? Are the lyrics for these songs sort of your typical Ens Fahrum fare, or do they go in a different direction? Do your thing.
Well, I haven't actually looked through the lyrics as much this time, but judging from, you know, like what I have listened to and kind of paid attention to, and, you know, mainly if you just look at the the name of a lot of the songs, like it's another one of those kind of like battle metal sort of albums where they talk about war and your ancestors and Vikings and, you know, just kind of typical fare. It's nice. I like it. I don't know if it's no Blind Guardian, but it does a pretty good job of. Yeah.
Metal Sucks gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, it's sitting at a 71% average on Metal Archives. That's okay. There's one person that gave it a 20%, so I kind of throw those people out. Like, you always try to throw out the outliers since that skews shit badly. So it's probably sitting at about 80.
My question is, if you gave this album 20%, what did you expect it to be?
Let's see what this guy said.
All right, you look up the review here. I'm going to go ahead and play track 5. It's a short one. This is Burden of the Fallen.
Thank you.
Oops, almost played the whole thing there. All right, what you got for me?
Well, the person said that the album's overall terrible and that they're kind of a that they're a one-trick pony. He's like, yeah, you're epic, cool, we get it. But the band would do well to go back and listen to a track like Treacherous Gods, which slowly, tactfully builds toward the absolute epic finale of the song rather than shooting their load in the first 2 seconds of just about every track. I don't quite think that. Like, this guy actually seems like a fan of Older and Sephiroth, who's just like, not really feeling it. Which, you know, I guess it's his prerogative and all, but...
Yeah. I feel like this person is kind of a neckbeard.
He might be. Though, I must say, I'm kind of happy I didn't listen to their last album, Unsung Heroes, because, oof. Yeah, the reviews for that are not kind. Not kind at all.
So, I'm on Amazon, and... There are 4 reviews, and they're all 5 stars.
Hi, there you go.
So, the hell with this guy said. That's what I say.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always going to be a few people bitching.
Here's something funny. What other items do customers buy after viewing this item? Apex Predator, Easy Meat by Napalm Death. Beyond the Red Mirror by Blind Guardian. Good to know we're typical.
Yeah. Has Amazon been following our podcast by any chance?
Yeah, maybe. All right.
Oh.
This is track 6 here. This is A Warrior Without a War. Definitely takes us away from the more traditional sounding death metal and, you know, more of that epic battle metal sound. It definitely makes the band, you know, stand out from some of their peers. I like this one. You know, not every album has to be played at a million miles an hour. What'd you think of it?
Well, I thought it was a pretty solid song. Like, as the album goes on, I feel like they kind of experiment a little more with the sounds. Like, you know, like, the beginning was kind of a standard fare for a more of a, you know, kind of that folky death metal band. And the first song and second and third song were typical in Sifrim fare. The fourth one was a really nice barn burner. Like, some of my favorite songs of them, like Twilight Tavern, like get really fast in the middle, and that's really a whole lot of fun. But Burden of the Fallen, it's a really nice song. As we keep going, we're going to start getting some really different things. such as Jesse Starcher's favorite thing ever, you know, disco.
All right, so let's start making our way down there. This one's a long one. This is 7 minutes and 31 seconds. We're not going to play the whole thing, obviously, but we'll play a little bit more than we normally do because of the length of the song. This is City for the Earth Bounds. It goes on for another 4 minutes.
Yes, it's another long 4 minutes.
And I think the less said about that one, the better.
I mean, it's solid, but it's a little long.
Like it kinda, you know what's better than that? You know what's better than that song? Kimbo Slice versus Ken Shamrock in June for Bellator.
Hey, you know what I hope happens? I hope Seth Petruzzelli makes a run in.
Everyone keeps saying that. Why can't we just be satisfied if Ken Shamrock actually makes it into the cage? Like everyone's expecting him not to at this point.
Well, I just think it's really funny because last time this happened, well, Seth Petruzzelli killed Elite XC, so I don't know. I mean, Bellator better watch out.
Yes, well, Bellator is not hinging its entire future on fucking Kimbo Slice either.
Yeah, that's true. That was so dumb. You know, I need to watch more MMA. I've not watched any MMA like at all for like a year because I don't.
You didn't see the Anderson Silva Nick Diaz fight?
Okay, besides that fight, I did watch that fight.
Okay.
Because I was like, huh, you know, because I was like, oh shit, I got nothing to watch. Let's fucking watch that fight. It was a pretty solid fight. I don't know. I just kind of feel like they have too many cards with too many guys. So I'm like, who's that guy? And I don't know. Like, well, actually, once Fight Pass came out is when I checked out because I was like, there's just too many fucking cards. I can't keep up with this anymore.
Yeah, I definitely picked my spot. I'm going to watch tomorrow's Bellator card. That actually looks pretty good there, British Invasion. It's got Emmanuel Newton on it, King Mo, Czech Congo. Paul Daly. So I'm pretty excited for tomorrow night's Bellator. And then at midnight, if you have the Fight Pass, you can watch the Cyborg fight.
Oh, boy. So all I have to say about the Bellator card is time to murder it.
That's right. It is #. Time to murder it. I'm very excited about Ken Shamrock, Kimbo Slice. Scott Coker is the hero America needs.
I think it's a very funny fight. Like, you know, they're making it now, but I mean, hey, guess you got to have Ken Shamrock have one last match. So I still don't think he's amazing as Aki Bono versus a blow up doll.
Okay. This is two of space. That was a nice upbeat song.
That was a bond burner.
Stone Cold. Oh, my God, he just killed him.
Stone Cold. He must have broken him in half. Speaking of Aki Bono versus a blow-up doll, there's a Japanese promotion called DDT. Which is a comedy promotion, and they are fucking amazing. They had a silence match where they literally wrestled in slow motion so they wouldn't make noise, and the first person to make noise three times loses. It ended via fart.
Well, I wish you hadn't brought that up because, you know, as we know, that people listen to my podcast for ideas for movies and, you know, and it's entirely possible this is going to get back to Vince McMahon. And John Cena versus Rusev at WrestleMania will end up being a silence match.
Unlike the two wrestlers that they had, you can't have things like one wrestler walking off, he's like, this is bullshit. The other wrestler pulls him out of a chair, you know, gets him some water, hands him a cigarette, lets him light it up. But then the other... the promotion is totally troll. Like, they had a match where the rules changed every 90 seconds.
Didn't WCW do that once?
I have no clue.
Maybe Eric Bischoff did it on Raw, where, like, every time, every few minutes, they were changing the rules. I remember there was actually a Steve Austin match with Mankind where they were like, oh, and now it's a no DQ match, and oh, now it's a special referee match. Like, they were trying so hard to take the title off Stone Cold. So they kept, like, changing the match stipulations.
Yeah, it was. It's funny. It went from, like, a two-count fall match. It started out as a regular match and ended up in, like, a submission match. And it went to a two-count fall match and a tag team match. It finally ended on a no-rope break match. I was like, oh, this is something special. Like, yeah, it's just funny. It's just funny as shit. Like, you know, I'm like, I love New Japan. It's so serious and exciting, and, you know, all the wrestlers are engrossing, but damn if I don't love goofy-ass wrestling.
I have to get caught up this week on NXT. I haven't watched it. And normally I'll watch it when it comes out on Wednesdays. I tried watching it last night, and through no fault of its own, I mean, it's a fine product, but I could not stay awake. I'm having a rough time as it is right now. So that being said, it's track number 9. This is My Ancestors, This Is His Blood.
Love a song that starts with death growls. God, love death growls.
All right, so I listened to the album. Maybe I missed something. Where is this disco that Jesse is so, like, all over the place about?
One of the songs, like, right around the end, it just, like, it goes into disco. I want to say maybe it was that 7-minute song. But
is it maybe the next one? Because the next one's 11 minutes and 20 seconds.
Oh, God. I think so.
All right. Well, I don't want to wait 1 minute more. This is Descendants. Defiance. Domination! song certainly went on forever.
So the disco is halfway through to a spade. It goes into like a disco thing for like 30 seconds, and it's hilarious.
Okay. Well, you know, people who do metal, you know, certainly have a sense of humor.
Yes, they do.
All right, so the last track of the studio album, you know, if you didn't get the Digipak version or this version or that version, is Something in Finnish. Nieto, I don't know why I have to always pronounce things with a Spanish accent. I guess because I don't like no Finnish. I couldn't even begin. Like, I need Eddie Izzard here to like do a Finnish accent for me because I really don't know what, you know, Finnish people sound like. This is weird because I listen to a lot of their metal.
I do too, and all I really know about like Sweden is that there's a lot of people that sound like they're from Sweden on Metalocalypse. And the idea is from Sweden, and Stefan Stuhl is from Sweden.
IKEA is from Sweden.
IKEA is from Sweden.
I like meatballs.
I don't know. Swedish meatballs are like really good.
Yes, they are. I had them. I think I had them for lunch. No, I had an Atkins meatloaf for lunch today. It was delicious. Not really. All right. So here it is, Something in Finnish. Figured out today, or discovered. The word lovey, you know, in terms of a child's favorite plaything, is an actual, like, recognized term. Like, I heard it once on an episode of Doc McStuffins. You know, this little toy bear was saying, like, oh, I was so-and-so's number one lovey. And I just thought it was the word chosen by the people who wrote the script you know, and that's the way that they decided to make that character talk. But I was reading a blog about baby behaviors. Apparently, my son started hitting himself in the face, you know, kind of like Riggs from Lethal Weapon, just whacking himself in the, you know, across the head, and it's worrying my wife and my mother-in-law. And their whole thing is like, well, you know, it's Mark's fault because Mark, you know, horse plays with the children and teaches them that hitting is good, and so now they, and now he's hitting himself. And so to defend myself, I went on this website, and I found out that actually babies hitting themselves at this stage is actually normal, and they do it for a variety of reasons, none of which are because of horseplay. So, you know, my wife and my mother-in-law were conspiring against me. But the other thing I noticed was, and I said, I actually sent I took a picture of the website and sent it to my wife when she brought this up to me. I was reading on this website about like developmental milestones for a 10-month-old, which my son is, and he says, I think it's like between 10 and 11 months old, they'll start to develop a lovey. They will name a lovey for themselves. They actually use the word lovey. And that is supposed to be like a blanket or a toy or, you know, stuffed animal, something that they attach themselves to for comfort. So, yeah, that's an actual thing, a lovey.
When you say it, I have no clue. I've never heard this term before, and I don't know what a lovey is. The only lovey I've ever heard of is Lovie Smith, former coach of the Chicago Bears.
Well, I'm sure he was a lot. I'm sure he was a lot of people's lovey.
Have you been letting your kid watch too many Sandman matches? You know, trying to emulate the Sandman crushing the beer on his head. I used to do that in high school. I'd have like, when I'd have a drink, I'd drink it, smash it, the thing on my head, and just like fucking missed it out.
No, I just was giving Jonas too many beers.
Hey, you know, it's never too young to start. It's like watching wrestling. It's never too young to start.
People listening to this going, what the fuck? All right.
Yeah.
Let's play some of the bonus tracks here. I'm going to play one called War Metal. Now, some of these actually, I think you made a bit of an error on. I had to kind of figure out which ones they were. This one, like I said, this is, if you bought the Digipack, this is a bonus track called War Metal. Cover of another Finnish black metal band called Barathrum. You ever hear of them?
No, but this song's fucking awesome, so now I must go look up Parathrum.
Yeah, apparently you can find out all you need to know about Barathrum on the what is this? This is the Finnish Wikipedia page.
Oh, apparently they have some really good albums here. Sweet. They're a black doom metal band, which I know is your two favorite genres ever.
So there you go. All right, now this one is just called Bonus Song, and Jesse and I were talking earlier today and had a good laugh about it. So this is going to be the last track we're going to play for the night, and then we'll do plugs. And we have a special outro song for you from the Digipak version of One Man Army. So this is Bonus Song.
Aku, Gantile.
Hear the thunder drum blasting in the night. Feel the guitar solo getting near. And space is so fuzzy, and that's the way I like it. Walk on something that's happy. The lyrics won't ever fade.
I do agree with Mr. Jesse Starcher. It does sound like they are saying thunder tits.
It's fucking laugh. Thunder tits. Is that what Hulk Hogan calls himself now?
I don't know. All I know is I can't find the lyrics of that song, so I'm going to go with thunder tits until somebody proves me wrong.
Yeah. Oh, this is funny. So apparently Rey Mysterio has been released from WWE. And the first comment on 411 is, I'm afraid I've got some bad knees.
Yeah, well, Rey's been kind of missing in action there for a while. He's pretty crippled at this point. And they were, holding on to him just because he missed so much time being injured. They felt like he owed him the time. So he's pretty... Rey Mysterio is pretty cooled off at this point, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially after your Royal Rumble.
Wherever he decides to go, wherever he decides to wrestle, I'm sure, you know, he'll lend credence to any organization that he's with, but he can't do the kind of stuff that he had been doing. Even his latter years in the WWE, he's been wrestling, since he's 15 years old. And he's been in some pretty brutal matches. I suspect Rey's best days are behind him. So, here at the Rattlers and Broadcasting Network wish Rey Mysterio all the best.
And Lucha Underground, where he'll probably feud with Chavo again. Oh, remember that feud? Oh, that was something special. You can even look at Rey Mysterio's entrance and tell that he's gotten old. Remember how he used to, pop out of, the front or something like that?
Right.
And it was awesome. Now he just kind of like trots out, like, yeah, fireworks. Fireworks.
Yeah, well, the walker doesn't help.
Do you think they've got one of those fucking the chair on the fucking floor, the chair on the railing that, you know, they've got
who's
like,
that coming out of the sky? R-E-Y. He's like coming down the thing in the scooter.
He's got a fucking chair lift.
Alright, so what do you got going on, Mr. Cooper? Are we ever going to get another Happy Japanese Fun Time podcast out of you?
Oh, we actually were going to record this week, and I forgot because I had papers I was writing. So, yeah, that was my bad. I was like, all right, I got home like that night. We were going to record that night. I'm like, Butter, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to make it 2 hours. He's like, yeah, me either. So I'm like, let's do it tomorrow at like noon. Okay. Noon comes around, and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm balls deep in some papers. So, yeah, by the way, before I finish my plugs or start my plugs, this album was pretty good. We never really said what we thought about the album in whole. It's perfectly serviceable as a pretty cool little folky death metal album. If you like Insifrim, you'll like this album. They've got some very Insifrim-y songs, but they also have some really nice, really nice different things that they have. So I give it a 4 out of 5. So anyway. Or do you want to say your final thoughts, or do you just want me to keep going?
My final thoughts are a saw cutting wood at this point.
Oh, I see. So you are Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I am falling asleep.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and make it quick. So yeah, since I write a podcast, we'll hopefully be back this week. We'll cover the first 4 episodes of Power Rangers Dino Charge. Spoiler, really good show. First episode of newest Super Sentai series, Ninjas, out. Hopefully we'll cover that. I'm almost caught up on Kamen Rider Drive. That's good. So, yeah, we got plenty of things to talk about. We just need to do it, which is kind of the problem at this point. But we'll get to it. Yeah, Facebook. Look at our Facebook page. Thanks. Facebook.com/SentaiRiderPodcast and SentaiRider podcast. Let's see. We have this podcast. It's pretty nice. I like it. And finally, the Cooperative Multiplayer Podcast, which is Saturday nights at midnight on the co-op Cooperative Multiplayer page on Spreaker.com. It's myself, Sean Garmer, and Martin Morrison. We talk video games. Or if it's like last week, I'm like, I'm going to be honest, guys. I played WWE 2K14 for like an hour, and I played a little Pokemon. Let me talk about how DDT is amazing. So I proceeded to talk about how amazing it is, how amazing a match that ends via fart is. And how another match has Aki Bono. Like, it was great. Another match was Aki Bono, this one guy whose gimmick is that he's a pop star. And he wears these glasses that anytime anyone puts them on during the match or after the match, they put on this music or the PA. And it's really catchy. It's like those two and a guy versus a wrestling blow-up doll, an 80-year-old deathmatch wrestler, and another guy. And it ended, like, after the match, it was a fucking dance-off. There you go. Like, best promotion ever. So, yeah, that's all for me.
Okay. I'm on the latest episode of the WrestleCast called Jedless. You can catch that on the casualheroes.net. Next week, Jedless, yes. Jed chose to – we've all been taking turns, like taking a break from the show. I took a break because I was ready to strangle both Jed and Pat. And so I need a week off.
I don't see those two working well together.
It's interesting. I'll say that. They were kind of ganging up on me, and I was like, well, I'm not going to do the podcast anymore. And Jed said, no, you're an integral part of the show. Please don't quit. And so I didn't. But that kind of caused, like, get 1 week Gavin took off, and then, you know, and this last show, Jed took off, and Pat wasn't available. So it ended up being myself, Robert Winfrey, and Gavin, which was an interesting show.
I need to join in on this rust one day.
You need to. We should invite you into the No Wrestling for Old Men online chat that we do. That just, you know, goes on forever. It's just me, Jed, Chris, Gavin, Pat, and Rob, all just, you know, randomly talking whenever the muse strikes us, And I think at one point it didn't have a name, and then it was called Setting Money on Fire, because I made a remark about how them not using the Ascension is like Vince, you know, they might as well just put up a picture of Vince shoveling money into a fireplace, which got taken way out of context and out of proportion. And so then there was this period where everyone was just complaining about wrestling, you know, and it was sounding like a bunch of bitchy old men. So I renamed the whole conversation No Wrestling for Old Men.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Thinking I was serious, I showed up, I'd bitch with everyone else, and be like, but what about Japanese things, guys? And they'd be like, shut up, you fucking weeaboo.
Dude, I couldn't get him to talk about, listen to the podcast. I tried to get him to talk about Ring of Honor. So, you know, like, maybe we could break up the monotony of constantly complaining about the WWE. And I got fought, you know, all over the place. I mean, Rob did a little bit of talk. Rob talked a little bit about it. But, yeah, it was just like, we're not talking about no stupid Ring of Honor. Shut up.
But NXT anyway. Is amazing.
Well, that we talk about.
I hope those two took notes on ganging up on you from Jeff Harris, who I think has blocked me on Facebook. So, hey. Because anytime I see Robert Winfrey talking on Facebook, I just see him talking to himself.
Why did he block? I know why he blocked me. You know, Jeff and I have never gotten along. But why did he block you?
I'm assuming it's him. Because do you see the same thing since he blocked you? Like, oh, it's just Robert talking to himself?
No, because I haven't blocked Jeff.
I don't know, maybe I blocked him. I don't think I blocked him. I just noticed, like, it'll be Robert comments, and then Robert will comment on something, but there's nobody there. I'm assuming maybe he blocked me, I don't know. Since there's a few times he's called into the gaming podcast and kind of just, like, yelled over us and asked us questions we've already answered and kind of just...
That was my biggest problem with Jeff, is that he just doesn't listen.
And he came on to troll Sean and Daniel, who are both, like, Xbox fans. On, like, you know, he showed up, talked shit about the Xbox One, and I was like, really? I don't know.
He's obviously a very lonely guy. Because if you have that kind of time on your hands, you have nothing going on, personally, you know. It's like if you're not being invited to a movie premiere to do a review on, you've got nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, I assume he blocked me. I'm guessing. So, I think Robert's like the only person who can actually handle him at this point, because Robert is very nice and diplomatic and just can snark the shit out of you with deadpan phrasing.
Robert might be the only one that's actually still talking to him, because no one else does that I know of. In any case, they're still doing the show together, and I've asked Robert, like, how's that going? He's like, oh, what, you know, me and Jeff get along fine. I'm like, all right, good for you guys. They consistently, as far as, like, first-run shows, they consistently get the highest numbers of any show on this network, except for, like, the oddball show here or there. So, like, whatever. it's kind of like with, like, Screaming Boy and anything, like, Teasley does, like, handle your own business. I don't want to know about it. Just don't get me in trouble and, you know, and take care of it. And he does. They do. And so I don't complain. This is maybe the first time I've talked about Jeff in, like, a year. In any case, so next week, The Long Road to Ruin is back. We'll be doing Sean and I will be talking Blade. And then 2 weeks after that, all four Crow movies. We'll do 2 hours on all four Crow movies. It's sure to be a delight. Robert Cooper, what are we doing in March? What are we doing in 2 weeks?
Let's see. If the new Enslaved album is out by then, maybe we'll do the new Enslaved. Let's see. Sorry, I'm going to the good old Wikipedia real quick, because Wikipedia always has all the right information for my listening pleasure. Yeah, like who would ever mess up, a new Papa Roach album. Ooh, let's see. There's Viking, Enslaved, that comes out on the 6th. There's a new Moonspell. There's new Scorpions. New Enforcer. Ooh, Keith McAllison. Let's get that album out in America. Because Keith McAllison, I bought one of their albums not too long ago, and they were really fucking solid. So let's see what we're looking at here. Oh, it's got a 60 so far. That's not good.
I'm a bonus track.
Yes. Yes, you are. You are a bonus track at this point. I don't know. I'll let you know later. I'm thinking maybe Keeper Callison. I was really like wanting to do that one retrospective, but like half their albums are kind of black metal-y, so I don't know. But the last two albums, like especially the last album, reeks of Typo Negative influence. So I don't know. We'll see. As long as I remember we're doing a podcast. As long as I remember we're doing a podcast in 2 weeks, because sometimes I forget.
At this point, if you can't figure shit out, I'm making you do the Scorpions.
Fuck it. We'll do Keep of Callison, why not?
Alright, what are we doing?
Keep of Callison. It's Keep of Kalessin.
When did it come out?
It came out in February, like the end of February. At least in like somewhere. Let me look it all up.
Keep of Callison. Okay, I see it. Keep of Callison. Got it.
Yeah, like I was one of their older albums not too long ago, and I was really impressed. So.
Okay.
Oh no. there's something to say. Okay, we'll fucking listen to it. Then if all else fails, we'll just be like, oh, whatever. We'll listen to Enslaved next time.
Okay.
That time.
Listen, I may overrule this and just make you do, we'll do another cover show.
Hey, dude, we did it last March, so, like, and you know what? Fuck it. Instead of that, let's do a cover show. Cover show right, for the first show of March, and then the second show will be Enslaved.
Sure. Sounds like a plan. All right, next show is a cover show. All right, so with that said, let's get the fuck out of here. For Robert Cooper, this has been the... yes, this has been the Metal Hammer of Doom. We'll see you in 2 weeks so we can play more of our favorite covers. 1, 2, 3, get them up, get them out. Rawhide!